Few days I've been reminded of a chorus that I sang when I was a little boy, and there'll be many people here who know it. And the words of that chorus are, "This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it." It's a choice I do. One of the things that I was thinking, particularly as you get old, like I got old, it just happened overnight, I don't know where it came from. But things aren't the way they used to be. Have you noticed that? You know, you look back and you look back over Christmases to the way they used to be. And I can remember moments in our family as our kids were growing up. There were traditions we had, things that we used to, the ways we used to do things, and just special. And there's a part of me that goes, gee, I wish some of the past was here today. Some of those things that I treasured could be a part of what today is. Janet and I woke up this morning, and this morning was different. This morning was different. Fortunately, Brianna had stayed, so I had to make her a coffee. I didn't have to make her a coffee when she was three or four, but making her a coffee, and it was different in our household. And there's a part of me that kind of feels the loss of those experiences that we had in the past. But then, as I thought through that, I also had the realization that a little later today, we're going to be blessed to have our grandkids coming over. And each of their homes, in their family homes, there's new traditions being created. And it's going to be an awesome moment, particularly as some of our grandkids are only just getting to that age of starting to realise the joy and the fun of all that Christmas is. I don't know what today looks like for you. I would imagine that it's going to be a little different to what other years. For some of you, it'll be just like every other year. But life changes. We move on. The one thing that I'm reminded of that has never changed, though, is that Jesus Christ is the centerpiece. He is in the middle of it all. We can create lots of other traditions, and there's lots of other things that we do. But I think it's really important that we just remember, regardless of those things which we can't change, and some of the things just change because of time, we can just choose to stop, and we can choose to declare, I choose to put Jesus in the middle of what today is. This is the day, today is the day that the Lord has made, and I choose to rejoice, and I choose to be glad in it. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for today. I want to thank you for all that today is. I also want to thank you for all of those experiences of the past. Those moments in the past that I could rejoice in. Those memories that just filled me with great joy. But Father, I pray that today will be a day that can also be filled with joy. Even though things are maybe a little different, may you fill us with joy, because we know that our lives are not the same because of Jesus. Father, would you restore to us the joy of your salvation, the joy of the Christmas message. And that, Father, in all of that, then as we rejoice with our family or our friends, or even if today is a day in which we're home by ourselves, may it be a day in which we just thank you for being the God that you are and giving you the gifts that you have given to us. Father, as we open your word today, I pray that there will be just this special connection with what you're wanting to say to us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just want to look up on this screen there, you'll see that there are going to be presented a number of different nativity scenes. And it seems as though everyone has a slightly different nativity scene. Naive me, I went looking for what is the correct nativity scene. The right one, the right version. And I found out that there's no such thing. Everyone has a slightly different version of the nativity scene. And that's partly for two different reasons. There are some people who try and compile a nativity scene that is historically accurate. That is, the nativity scene only has in it those characters and those things that were a part of the first Christmas. Actually, I had a bit of a dilemma last night. You might be able to answer for me. When we think of the night of Christmas, was that last night or is that tonight? Yeah, you'll have to think through that anyway. I couldn't come up with an answer to that. But anyway, on that first night, and then there are other nativity scenes that go a little further, and they kind of put in all the characters that were part of the Christmas story, such as the wise men, even though most people would think that the wise men didn't come for about 18 months after the event. But they kind of throw them in the scene as well. So no matter which one you look at, you can be pretty sure, as we saw in one of the nativity scenes there, there's going to be Mary and there's going to be Joseph. There's going to be a manger, and of course, there's definitely going to be a baby Jesus. Usually cows, often sheep, occasionally some donkeys. Has to be hay, but that's when it all begins to get a little bit subjective. Usually the shepherds make a bit of an appearance in the nativity scene. They saw the angels and they heard the angels singing and then they hurried off. But then as from there we see the scene starts to get a little bit different because some of them have the angels in it. Yet there's nothing to say that the angels were actually at the place where Mary and Joseph were. Some scenes have a star over the stable. Others would say, well, that star didn't actually appear until sometime afterwards. As I said, some have the wise men, and they definitely weren't there at that point. So all in all, here's a challenge for you, and I'd like to give you this challenge. How well do you actually know the Christmas story? How confident are you in all of the things that you've thought and believed and heard? How confident are you in all of that that you actually know how the story unfolded and what is actually written? I'm going to ask you to do some homework and find out what it is. And in that research, one of the things I'm going to ask you just as a starting point, are you sure there was a stable? Are you sure that Mary and Joseph were in a stable with the cows and the sheep? And are you sure there was hay? I'm going to let you think through that as you check on the story. But what I really want to focus on today is how important everyone was who was in the story. I would think we're all pretty comfortable with Jesus being in the story of Christmas, okay? We're okay with that, you know, the idea of Jesus having to be in the story. Jesus is the reason for the season. But I don't want that just to be a throwaway line. Can we move it from just being one of those lines that people just speak, Jesus is the reason for the season, to understanding that Jesus, the Son of God, sent to the world to change everything. Change all that the world is, change our lives, was sent to the world. We need Jesus in the story. Then there is Mary and Joseph. I think they're fairly key figures in the story as well, I'm sure you'd agree. The baby Jesus would need earthly parents to care for him and raise him. This little baby, Jesus, would need people who had hearts towards God, wanting to honour God and needing to be good parents. And I think they were good parents. We don't hear a lot about Joseph. But certainly Mary was a great mum. How about the wise men bringing gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh? Very symbolic gifts. The gold symbolising the baby was born to be a king. The frankincense, a symbol of deity, or in other words, of God. And myrrh, which is an embalming oil, a symbol of death. So yes, these gifts were symbolic, but I have to tell you that they're a lot more than that. You might remember that Herod actually made a decree that all babies, boys, under the age of 2 would be killed in that area. So Mary and Joseph had to flee to Egypt. And it's often believed that that gift of gold actually became the means for them to survive, to have the resources needed to live, to keep bread on the table during that period of time. And so it was an incredibly important gift. So the wise men matter. Which leaves us with the shepherds. The shepherds are there in the story. And don't get me wrong, I like shepherds. But the role they play in the story seems minimal. Even in Luke's account of the story, as it says there, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. And what were they doing? Just keeping watch over their flocks at night. We don't know the shepherds' names. We don't know how many of them there were, because they were just shepherds. Sounds like it could have been anyone. We could have been reading in this story. There were a group of orthodontists staring out of their window. And they say, hey, there's some angels there. Let's go see what this is all about. And if not orthodontists, there could have been garbologists, the garbage collectors out seeing what was going on. Stop-go controllers on the road. Literally any career you could just about put in there, except engineers, because engineers wouldn't have known what to do. But you could just about put anyone else in there. Any kind of scenario in that, and you feel as though the story would still hold together fairly well. And that may or may not be the case. But God did choose shepherds. He chose shepherds, and in particular, not only did he just choose shepherds, he chose these shepherds. And the fact that he did should ask us the question, why? Why were these shepherds significant to the birth of Jesus? In Luke's account, it tells us that the shepherds were living nearby, Bethlehem. And from that little statement we have there, we get a bit of a glimpse that these shepherds may have been fulfilling a very important role. Shepherds living in the fields normally lived a long way from town. Part of the reason they lived in the field is because the sheep needed to go to where the green pastures were. They needed to go to the feeding fields, which is usually the base of the mountains or a long way from the towns. But these shepherds lived nearby. They were still out in the field, but they lived nearby, as we're told there. And so that in itself is unusual. So it sounds as though that these shepherds were keeping watch over a special flock, a group that lived in a place called the Tower of the Flock. The tower was close to Bethlehem, and these sheep were probably actually the temple sheep that they were looking after. You see, the temple herd, the sheep who would ultimately be taken and would be the sacrifice for the sins of the people. When we understand that, all of a sudden it makes perfect sense that God would choose these shepherds to go and meet the one who would pay the price of our sins. This is how Jesus is described in John chapter 1, verse 28. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So the symbolism is strong. But I think there's a second reason that these shepherds are really important in this event. And I think this is the main reason, is that they are very quick to declare. They've seen the angels, and their declaration they make almost straight away is, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing. Let's go. Let's go and be in the place where God would want us to be." They believed the angels, and they chose to respond to the angels, and they chose to respond to God. If there's one thing that's really stood out in the message we had on Sunday and the story we've got today, and really the great people of the Bible, it's very rare that they're called because of their unique ability. The thing that stands out with almost all of them is the moment God calls them, they respond immediately. They're not necessarily highly educated people or theologically trained. They're not people with years of experience. They are people who respond to God's leading. You can read about Joseph's response in Matthew 1, and I'd encourage you to do that at some time. There's Mary's response in Luke 1. We read today the shepherd's response, and then we also read the Magi, or the wise men's response in Matthew 2. Why God chose these people is up to speculation. And even as I've shared what I shared in regards to the shepherds, there's some level of speculation in that. But the fact that they immediately responded is without doubt. It's still how God wants to work today. God wants people who will respond to Him when He calls. In that first Christmas, there was an event that there was quite a few characters. As we said, there was Mary, Joseph, wise men, shepherds. But the centre of it all was Jesus. In regards to that, nothing has changed. Jesus needs to still be the centre. He needs to be the centre of today. He gives purpose. He gives hope. And that can be your experience today. Today, right here, God is now in the process of writing a new event. A new event in history is being penned and is being created even as we sit here today. If you like, it's almost a new nativity scene that is being written. In this new nativity scene, Jesus is there in the middle. The difference of this nativity scene is you and I are all the characters in it. God has called us all to come and to see Jesus. He's called us all to come and worship this baby who has now become the Saviour of the world. No longer a baby, but Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. So do you want to join with me in coming to worship Jesus? Do you want to be those people who say, I'm going to lay down my wants and all the things that I think Christmas needs to be? And are you willing to say, let's go see Jesus this Christmas? Let's allow Him to continue to be the middle of this new scene that is being created. Why would God choose us? Honestly, why would He choose us? Sometimes we don't even come close to having an answer to that. But I would like to think it's because we are going to be a people that choose to respond to this Jesus who was sent for you and I. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank You for this new scene that's being created. The original scene of Mary and Joseph is beautiful. But the fact that there is a new scene being created and we are the characters who are a part of that scene is truly amazing. Thank You for choosing us. And Father, if there is anyone here today who doesn't know what it means to have Jesus in the middle of their lives, then Father, would you encourage them to ask questions and to find out what that means? Because life is so much more wonderful when Jesus is in the middle of all that we are. Father, I ask that this Christmas, even though there's lots of things that are different, lots of things that are changing, may Jesus continue to be the very reason, the real reason for the season. Amen. Amen.